El Pacifico, Bill Henry.
Well, welcome, 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 welcome. Yeah, it's good to be with you here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we're back here on live radio here across the thing. I was about to say across the fruited plain, you know.
Why did you say that, Rush Limbaugh?
Well, that's why I didn't say it, because Rush Limbaugh says it. You don't have to have the thing up.
Yeah, well, they're on hold, and they're waiting.
Yeah, that's great. We'll get to them in just a sec. We have Dean Wheeler and Amarella Wheeler, who will join us in a moment. Because we're going to talk about what occurred at this Tony Robbins coal walk or fire walk over the weekend. Not really as to what happened at the Tony Robbins event, but we are going to discuss these kinds of new age, if you will, events or these new age gatherings. The worst of which, I guess, was the thing in Arizona where people were in a large simulated Native American sweat lodge, and you heard the story. Some of them wound up dying, and others got very, very sick, and it was completely it was just unacceptable and could have been avoided. And I obviously, it's the kind of thing where you'd laugh at if it wasn't so tragic, because it's a bunch of these Americans of Western European descent, and all of a sudden everybody wants to go native. And I personally, like I said, if it wasn't so tragic, I find it a little laughable. But we're going to talk with Dean Wheeler and Amarella Wheeler here in a moment. Our number is 877-876-7445. And by the way, this is no disrespect intended to anybody that does that, you know, Bud, because I was telling you.
Yeah, you say you went on a Tony Robbins. Over to Tony Robbins' house, or not his house, but...
No, man, you went on like his resort, right?
I went to Tony Robbins' resort in Fiji, and I'm going to tell you something, man. I've never been to a more beautiful place in my life. In my life.
Yeah, but that's only on account of Fiji.
Well, you know, there's a point there, but I got to tell you, the actual resort hotel itself was... It was unbelievable. I'd never seen anything like it before in my life. It was the most beautiful place, and it was, you know. So anyway,
no, must have been nice having that kind of money and everything.
No. You want me to tell you a story? Well, just let me get into this, will you? Because I didn't spend a dime, and the reason why I didn't spend a dime is because I was put off by the operator that I dealt with when I was trying to make the reservation, and I complained all the way up the chain. To, I think, the second in command to Tony Robbins. And
you're kidding.
No. And they said, Mr. Henry, because we were going to Fiji anyway, I was going to stay at that Jacques Cousteau resort, which was also fantastic. And by the way, if any of you people are listening, we certainly the advertising dollars would be. I'm kidding.
Yeah, they don't think this is all plugola.
I'm not getting paid anything. I'm not even going to. I'll finish this later. I'm finishing it later, bud. 877-876-7445. The world-famous Phil Henry Show is online at philhenryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can watch our live-streaming video cast of our show tonight, tomorrow night, the night after, any night that we're on the air, live. And you can not only watch that, you can watch the video archives on demand. And very soon, oh, man.
When's that going to happen, man?
Let me just tell you, very, very soon, I talked to Greg today. Let me, you know, folks, you got to understand something. There, you know, it's a world that you just don't know. In order to make Flash Media compatible with Apple, I know there's people out there saying, oh, it's real easy, man. All you have to do, oh, sure, all you have to do, all you have to do is, and also all you have to do is lay out, oh, I don't, something in the low to mid five figures. Well, it's, sure, all you have to do. And also, for the money that we're paying, I want to make sure that we've got a good vendor. And we were dealing with a jackball, and Greg very wisely said, you know what, take your company and what you're offering, stick it up your rear end. We don't want to deal with you. Thank you and good night. And so we're dealing with some other people, and they seem to really have their act together. However, having said all that, folks, we will be available on demand for your Apple products, your iPhone, and your iPad very, very soon. We are, of course, on demand right now, available on all of your droids and PCs, et cetera, so on and so forth. PhilHenryShow.com. All right, Dean Wheeler and on the line with us. And Dean is at the resort, which is, you have the Northern California Holistic Center, Dean.
Yep.
But this is not, is this in conjunction with the Holistic Center?
Well, Phil, yeah. The Holistic Center, which is located on our property in Novato, California, is the central place, I suppose. I don't want to use the word ashram, but it is a place of learning, and I do a great deal of the teaching there because I have immersed this myself in this.
What are the teachings?
Well, I don't. They're not teachings per se. I mean, you can be any religion. We teach mind control of the mind. We teach control of the body. We teach meditation.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you do that.
Yes, meditation. We teach
yoga.
We do have yoga classes. We have relaxation classes, and we also have these specialized classes and seminars in control of one's senses, in control of one's body. And that's what I think Tony Robbins was trying to do and didn't do it well. And I'm second to none in my admiration for Tony, but I think in my line of work, like any other line of work, there's a saying that a lot of you people in your business will use, which is something along the lines of, move over, let the big dogs eat.
Yeah, something like that.
Well, in the world of New Age teachings and trainings, there are the big dogs, and while Tony Robbins is a great motivational speaker, I think he needs to move over and let Dean Wheeler, eat. Or I'm not. I don't want it to sound like I'm eating grass.
No, I understand. But you. So are you well known in this?
Well, I think so. We teach people the same kinds of techniques.
All right. Now, what happened at the Tony Robbins event? To be very, just to cut through it, was what?
Well, what happened was these people, I don't believe, were trained very properly in the focusing of the mind so that you are drawing away from the senses and the nerve endings literally, physiologically, physiognomy or dog. It's the shape of the body or...
Physiognomy?
Say that again, Phil. Write that down and write it. Say it again.
I'm sorry, it's physiognomy? Is that the word you're looking for?
I think it's physiognomy, Emma.
It sounds a bit right there, but I'm not really sure.
Okay. So, yeah, physiognomy. Geez, that's a hard word. But it means the physical characteristics of the human body. So what we do is we teach drawing that away. Tony Robbins should have. But he did not do it properly, and what happened was the people that were walking on these coals wound up losing their concentration. The mind went back to literally the heat, and they wound up having the flesh burned, and there were terrible, it was a terrible thing for people. They heard screaming, and you can imagine the agonizing screams of a man who's having his feet burned to the bone. And
to the bone? Is that...
Well, I don't know if that was it, but I have to tell you, Phil, when I heard this, and I wanted to get on the phone and I wanted to call Tony, and I wanted to say to him, what are you doing?
And now, you know him well enough to call him?
Yes, I do. Uh-huh. Yeah, I do. And
he's talking.
I'm telling him, Emeralda. Emeralda is going to be joining our... the Hopi ceremony that we're going to have a little bit here in a moment, Phil, that I'm going to demonstrate.
Now, my understanding is you also teach a mind over matter. Is that correct?
Yes, I do. And it's not, to say I also teach a mind over matter is like saying, it's almost like saying, oh, and I understand you flew like the Wright brothers, too. Let me tell you something. Only in that case, I would be the Wright brothers, because I think when you compare Tony's technique, which is a simple mantra. He uses a mantra, and what is the mantra? Is I don't know what it is. Let's say it's mambo mambo or something. I think it's not mas mum. Okay, so it's like, and you have to chant the mantra. I don't know what it is, but let's say it's mambo. You go mambo, 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 mambo. And that's not the right one, though, is it?
No, you can't really chant mambo, mambo. You're not supposed to have hard consonants in it. It's got to be balloon, balloon, balloon. It's more of an extended.
Okay, I got that. All right, so it's a more of an extended vowel. Balloon, baloo, baloo, baloo. But mambo, mambo, the hard consonant is against, it just goes against everything that the universe, in terms of vibration, it goes against everything. With the wrong mantras, Phil, because all creation is vibration, and with the wrong mantra, you're going to, I don't know.
What's your problem?
Well, my brother, we were using a mantra that we shouldn't have used. It was something like mambo, mambo, and it had the hard time. We were mambo, mambo, mambo. And my brother ruptured a testicle playing basketball outside. I know it wasn't my fault directly, but I also know...
Your brother ruptured a testicle?
Yeah, he was playing basketball outside, was chasing the ball, leapt, and landed spread eagle on a brick wall. And we were inside... misusing a vibratory source. I think it was that hard consonant, my brother Wayne went spread eagle onto a brick wall and screamed. Oh God, I still remember it. So
all right, hold on, Dean, because I want to hear. Dean Wheeler also teaches a mind over matter technique. And we're going to hear what he teaches and where he thinks Tony Robbins went wrong. Well, you heard him. He said Tony Robbins just doesn't know how to teach these kinds of things. And that's why people were being burned, he said, seared down to the bone. I didn't hear anything like that. 877-876-7445, 877-876. Phil will be back, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Why don't you get the Indians?
Out of here?
Yeah, the Indians are here.
Famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, Phil Hendry Show, and welcome back. Dean Wheeler and his wife Emeralda from the Northern California Holistic Center. Tony Robbins, who is one of the most well-known and highly regarded motivational speakers, motivational teachers in the world, was holding an event at one of his schools or places of meditation or resorts or spas or I don't know.
Well, Phil, a lot of times are called retreats. We have our retreat. We have our man camp. We have three different retreats. We have our man camp. We have couples camp. And then we have the fulfillment. And fulfillment is really it's everyone together, all of the members of our ashram, but they... Yeah, on that one weekend, you dissolve, meaning you don't acknowledge any relationship. To give you an example, Emeralda knows this, on the, I forget what I call it, what's the name of man camp, couple camp?
Unification?
I guess it's the unification.
That's what I think you said, unification, yeah. You don't remember?
Yes, I remember. It's the unification. You know, I remember, but you have to understand, the unification on that weekend, we disavow knowledge of our other, and Emeralda is my other, and we will walk past each other during the unification weekend and not even acknowledge each other, and it worked out. There's a lot of things I could tell you about it. I don't want to tell him about that. No, I don't want you to.
What are you hiding here?
We don't hide anything, so.
Phil, there was a race. Let me tell you.
Oh my God.
Phil, there was a race. And I didn't press charges, Phil, but Dean had come into my room, and this was our unification weekend. And Dean had come into my room, and it was on our unification weekend.
Right.
You've already said that. Shut up, Dean, and let me finish, because you're harsh in my buds. I mean,
you don't say that. God, tell me that. You don't say harsh in my buds.
I will say what I want. Phil, can you hear me?
Yes, and I don't want fighting over telephones. There's an awful lot of that that happens on this show.
Mr. Henry doesn't want fighting over telephones.
I heard. You don't give me direct. Can I have that?
No, you may not.
May I have it?
No, you may not.
Give him the phone, will you, Emeralda?
Yeah.
Hold on. Dean, I don't want fighting over phones. I just told her.
I am not fighting over a phone, and I would appreciate it if you have something to say to me, you say it to me directly. I've been the guest on your show, not her. How many times have I been on your show? Well, you don't have to answer that, Phil. Hundreds and thousands. And, you know, a lot of times. She hasn't. She hasn't been your guest. So if you have something to say to me, I'd appreciate it.
All right, but Dean, I'm here and understand.
I know you're there. Wow. He's there.
Is that right?
Yeah, Phil, we know you're there.
I'm here and I hadn't finished my sentence.
All right.
I'm here and please be mindful of the fact that you are representing your school, your system of beliefs, your mind over matter teaching.
It's not called your mind over matter teaching. It is called the benevolence. It's called mastering. And it's painful. And it can injure you. And it can even leave you crippled. But you will be an enlightened being when you leave our camp.
It'll leave you crippled?
Yes, I thought that might get your attention. I thought that might get your attention.
Oh, Dean, you're really sounding petty.
All right, Dean, and I have to agree with you. You're sounding petty.
I don't like this whispering between you and Emeralda.
There's no whispering. I'm on the radio talking to you and talking to her. Now, she said that you raped her?
It was during the unification weekend. I hope, Emeralda, that you're happy.
Dean, honey.
Oh, no, don't honey me. It was during the unification weekend where we're not allowed to acknowledge each other. And I went into her hut, and I had, I was lonely, and I...
They got into my cat. Here
they are now. Would you tell them not to do that right now?
We have to start the ceremony.
All right, but I want to finish. Phil, are you there?
Yeah, do you have to go?
No, I don't have to go. No. The Hopis have started the ceremony, but what I'm saying is, do you call that rape? I said I can't take it anymore.
Yes, I do. And so let's not talk about it anymore. You're going to have to deal with that on some other, in another dimension.
Oh, is that right? Now you're making fun of my beliefs?
Well, I want to get to the mind over matter thing that you're talking about.
It is called the mastery, and it came from masturbation. Can I tell him? Jesus. Take the phone. I don't care.
He's going to be fine. He just has been a very stressful for Dean because we had signed up some 60 couples and only about 4 couples have showed up. So that's 2 times 4, right?
Yeah.
All right. 2 times 4 is 8. And I had table settings for 120. So it's pretty pathetic. But you know something? We're free. We are loving it. We're learning the mastery. We feel everything we feel. I feel it. And,
yeah, my brother Wayne felt it, too.
That was your fault, Dean, for the wrong mantra.
I'm better now, Phil. I'm sorry. It was not... And again, she's right. I'm being emotional. The mastery is simply this. When you walk across... the molten steel. It's not molten steel, but it's heated to almost the point of melting. They are spikes. You walk across these white-hot steel spikes. It sounds daunting, doesn't it?
It sounds impossible.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm going to demonstrate it for you now. And I'm going to show you, Phil, this is far more difficult.
You show me.
Yeah, oh, don't worry. Don't cheerlead me, okay?
You show him, honey.
Don't cheerlead me.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, you will walk the spikes?
Yes, it's called It's called Walking the Steel, and it is part of the mastery. Masturbation. I've never hit a woman in my... Not since I got out of jail, I've never hit a woman. And I may do it tonight.
No, you will not do it tonight, because I'll call the police if you do. 877-876-7445. We'll be back as Dean Wheeler walks the steel. A mind over matter, mind over whatever, you know, new age deal that Tony Robbins was trying this weekend, and his people wind up burning their feet. The world famous Phil Henry Show.
I have to get... Oh, please, oh, please.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, welcome back. Phil Henry Show here. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to join Dean and Emeralda Wheeler. They are in Northern California, Novato. And this is what you call walking the steel. Dean, you are doing this, I don't know what you would call it, a ritual?
It is, we call it an asana, Phil.
What is that again?
It is called an asana, and
asana?
No, it's called A-S-A-N-A. In yoga, these are postures, Phil, and these are positions that. And I don't mean that in the sense that a lot of your listeners might, some of the young people you have listening, want to think of it in terms of a sexual. In this is about what do you call it? It's about.
In Tantra yoga, it's sexual.
Yes, I know, but this isn't Tantra yoga. This isn't even yoga. I just called it an asana because I need to get... I'm going to walk the steel, Phil.
All right, describe what you're about to walk over.
It is a... It's like a metal carpet, if you will, only it's made of steel and steel spikes. There are heating coils underneath it that have heated the metal... to the temperature of near molten metal. Now, I don't know the exact Fahrenheit or Celsius of that, but I am given to understand by Pete Bendel and his brother Jason, who have the electrical, there are a couple of electrical contractors who set the coils up. And isn't that right, Pete?
Yeah, it's pretty hot, you know.
But, I mean, what's the temperature?
The what?
What's the temperature of the...
Well, it's not important.
No, what's the temperature, Pete?
I mean, it's pretty hot, you know.
Yeah, you said that already. Oh, boy. All right.
That's not important.
Emeralda, you're gonna need to back away from me tonight, honey, because you've already got me.
You really, really need to lighten up, you know.
No, honey, you do. You do, honey.
The temperature, I can look at the temperature if you want it.
No, I don't need the temperature.
Tell the guy we don't need the temperature.
Mr. Henry doesn't need it.
I got it. I go to the truck. Hey, Jason, go to the truck. My brother went into the truck. He's going to get out the thermostat.
I don't give a you-know-what. I don't want to do it.
Yeah, we're burning daylight here.
You're what?
We just want to get this moving.
All right. I am now going to walk the steel. Emeralda, would you please take, and again, Phil, this is done naked, so my loincloth I'm removing, my under thing, which is a holistic term, I suppose in the layman sense it's called a jock strap, if you will, or a cup, but it's called the under thing. It is dropped from, you don't push it down, you spread your legs and allow it to drop. If it doesn't drop, then... It's the wrong size, really, but you can't touch it.
I don't know any of that. I just want to hear you.
Well, these are all very... Why did they stop?
Okay. You got to hit it, okay? One, two, and a one, two, go. Come on.
Why'd you stop?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I don't ever want to hear them stop, okay? Because I'm donating what we're giving to their reservation and to the tribal council, that entire elk.
I am thin.
I am donating an elk, Phil, to the Hopi Council of Novato.
An elk? E-L-K?
Yes, a full elk. And I brought it to the Hopi Council. with a very festive and ritualistic air. I had put on, well, I don't want to get into it. I tried to put on what I thought a tribal chieftain in Celtic lands would wear.
Okay, and you were interacting with the tribal chieftains of the indigenous North Americans?
Yes, otherwise known as Indians. Get a load of him, will you? You don't have to get all that fancy, Phil. All right.
Okay, fine. Then why don't we call you, instead of Celtic, we'll just say you Irish guys.
No, because that's offensive. All right, let me just do this. All right, I have dropped my loincloth. I have dropped my underthing. Hey, are you going to be nude? Because I don't want to look at it, you know. I beg your pardon. You guys can go home, okay? Would you get out of here? I still got the electrical contractors here.
I bet you want to know the temperature on, but I can do it. Yeah, my brother went and got the...
I don't want to talk to them. Get them out of here, please.
Boy, I'll pay you later, okay?
Okay. Jesus. You're nude enough, man.
Yes, I'm getting naked. You're staring at my rear end. I'm not doing it.
No, that's part of the job, though.
Okay, you know...
I'm on the radio on the Phil Hendry Show. On the Phil Hendry Show, okay? Okay?
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Oh, boy. All right, Phil, I'm ready to go. I am looking at the heated steel. These coils are heated to a temperature... I don't even want to think about it. It will, if I allow myself to think of the heat coming from the coils and the spikes, I will impale myself on these spikes. But if I remain focused and if I remain absolutely fixated on the third eye and the medulla oblongata and the trajectory between the two, you're good. I'm good. You know.
You're good.
Why? If there's a term for it.
Samadhi.
What?
I don't know, man. Nirvana, samadhi.
Yeah, that's super consciousness. Yeah, okay. Boy, get you. All right, here we go. All right, tell him to cool it now. You know.
Boy, you can cool it.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. So I'm about to begin the cool it. Will you, guys? Thanks. What's that?
I need to tip them.
You gotta tip them. I have to tip the singer, this guy.
You gotta tip him.
Yeah, I gotta tip him, or he'll leave. Are you guys leaving?
I have no stay.
Why not?
Well, you have to tip if I'm going to look at your
scrotilia.
The scrotilia.
And
okay, I can't have that on the air.
Would you guys watch your language?
Sorry. No stay. No look at white man. Walk across spike. Everything hanging down halfway to me. You look like, wow, look like some old, just saggy Frenchman.
Don't you have sandals?
I beg your pardon?
Don't you wear sandals?
Do I wear sandals? Why do you say that?
Are you French people?
I'm not French, okay? I'm not French.
What is with these guys? Pay them off. Give them the tip.
All right, okay. Will you pay them?
My purse is in the house.
Make it snappy.
Come on.
Excuse me. Don't tell my wife to make it snappy, okay? Don't do that.
White man, no tell me.
Oh, knock it off, will you, Cochise? God, this guy's going through the holes. The guy thinks he's on Tonka.
No, me no, whatever.
All right, Phil, here I go.
No, don't do it yet. I want to see it.
Oh, God.
Boy, this is really starting to irritate me.
Well, I didn't do anything wrong. All I did, I'm doing everything right. I dropped the under thing, my loincloth. Oh, and the plug.
And the plug?
Yes. No, it's not sexual. Why does everything have to be filthy with you? Everything has to be filthy with you. I'm getting sick of it. Oh, I'm sorry, Phil. I'm just...
Boy, you, buddy, you know, whatever it is you're about to embark on, I hope it chills you out.
It's going to chill me out, yeah. Just as soon as... Did you tip him?
Here's your money,
guys. Oh, good. Thank you. Look at that. Ulysses S. Grant.
Word.
All right, hit it. 2, 3, and a 1, 2, 3. Go, baby.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That's a bad jam.
Did you guys just...
Okay, could Dean...
Yeah, I got it. And now, Phil, I will begin my walk across the steel... whatever the hell it's called, I forget now. I'm so thrown off.
Are you
sure you're in the right frame of mind.
Yes, I'm in the right frame of mind. Here I go, Phil. I'll do my mantra, which is, again, you cannot have the hard consonants. My mantra, as you know, Phil, is balloon, balloon, balloon.
Are you, it's balloon?
No, it's not balloon. It's balloon, balloon. It's not balloon like a kid's balloon. It's a word that it sounds like balloon. I mean, if you go to China, they have a word over there. They have the word two-bit whore. But do you know what it means?
No.
Dove. That's Chinese. Two-bit whore. When you say two-bit whore, it's a dove. You see?
I was in China. I never heard that.
Oh, really? Well, I guess you just didn't hear anybody talking about a dove. God. All right, I will now begin. I'm going to walk across the hot steel. I'm focusing my mind, and I'm going to make Tony Robbins. I hope you're listening, Tony, because this is how you do it. And I'll tell you one other thing, Tony, before I step onto this hot steel, you should have been walking across those coals with those people. And it really angers me, Tony, it angers me, and you know that I respect you, but that you could not go across the coals with those people. But here I go. I didn't make any noise, did I?
Yes, you did.
What?
Yes, you did.
Will you shut up? You know what? I'm going to... I just slapped her. I'm sorry.
Every night this week... Well, last week...
You were on the air for 3 days last week.
Oh, okay. You keeping track, too? Somebody's been slapped.
Don't worry, Phil. Watch this. What are you going to do? Ow! I stepped on his foot. He's got a spike through it.
Well, so, in other words, his mind over matter didn't work.
It did. Why do you say that it didn't? Why do you lie? Why do you lie?
You did, Dean. You were screaming.
What?
Honey, you were screaming bloody murder. That's why the Indians had to keep... I had to slip another Ulysses grant. Go ahead, boys.
You shut that up! What are you telling me?
You were screaming. Screaming! You went two steps.
You're a liar. You're a liar.
Dean, I'm not lying. You went two steps and you started to scream.
Honey, you did. You were screaming and you were screaming like a girl. You were going,
you're a lying whore.
Is that the Chinese for dove?
Wait a second. Oh!
Yeah, how'd that feel, huh?
Oh, whoa.
She stepped on your foot?
Yeah.
Then why is your foot hurt?
Because she stepped on it? What a stupid...
But doesn't it look like it's more injured than just her stepping on it?
Well, there's a hole in it. So what? Oh, my God, there's a hole in my... there's a hole in my foot. No.
You want to keep going with it?
Yes, I want to keep going. Why shouldn't I keep going with it? This is very compelling radio.
Yeah, but I think guys all flipping out.
I want to find out where this goes. Because you know something? I noticed something. You know what?
What?
When he thought that he had made it, in other words, when he got off of the steel carpet, he was talking with us, and he was very emotional, but he wasn't in any pain. When I said, look at your foot, and he saw the hole in his foot, that's when he started feeling the pain.
So you're saying that maybe it did work?
Not the way he thought it would. But in some kind of a reverse way, yeah. We'll be right back with Dean Wheeler as he practices mind over matter, walking along a steel spike carpet, whatever the hell, on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil, 877-876-7445. Dean Wheeler is with us, along with his lady Emeralda. You see that you're bleeding badly from the foot, and that you have a hole in your foot.
I can see that, Phil, and that doesn't matter, because mind over matter means that it doesn't matter. And I know that sounds silly, but mind over matter means it won't matter. And that means that you can undergo the most radical physical trauma, and you won't feel it. Now, you're telling me that I was screaming, because I don't remember any of it.
Maybe you blacked out.
No, I didn't black out. Blacked out. That's something some baby would do. Do I? I'm not. No. What are they doing?
They're paid through midnight.
All right, boys, guys. I don't need it. I don't want it.
You have to go back the other way.
I got to go back this way. All right, I have to go back the other way, Phil, and this means I have to do a tribal dance, and I've got to do it on badly injured feet. So, and I also have to do it according to the incantation here. And I also have to do it on doing a handstand. It's really involved.
Meantime, one of the couples arrived.
One of our couples has arrived, Phil. One of our unification couples has arrived.
Well, aren't you going to continue doing this steel walk?
Yeah, okay, God. I don't want to.
Well, you got to do it. Don't you have to go back the other way or whatever it is?
Hey, Dean, hold on for a minute. Charlie? Yeah. Listen, are we... Take my phone from me. I was listening on the radio coming in here. I heard you on the Phil Henry show. I wanted to say to Phil and we're listening to you coming in, Mr. Henry. Loud and clear. You're coming in loud and clear on PCH on Pacific Coast Highway. And this is Charlie Lemonger and my wife Sylvia here. We come from originally from the Bronx, from Las Vegas. Take that phone away from me. Just want Mr. Henry to know. And we enjoy the program very much. And these are real Indians. And all right, I'm now going to go back the other way.
That who's that?
It's one of my friends who's here for the weekend. I will now. Will you guys shut up with the? Please. Don't ever talk to me like that, you weakling, white man. These are the sacred drums. Yeah, sure. All right, you ready? I'm ready. I've got... Grab my phone, please.
We're ready.
Oh, yeah. Louder, Emeralda. When the moon hits your eye. Oh, I'm sorry.
Will you come on?
I'm sorry. I thought it was a different song. I've got to get back into key, and the only way I can do that is if I've got to get into the right temper. And will you shut your mouth? Shut that cheap engine up! You talk to my people that way? Yes! I'll tip you $500. I'm sorry, Phil, but I have to get to a certain tenor, a certain vibratory tenor.
I'm trying to help you.
I know, but you got to do it louder. All right, here we go. This is the unification, and...
You know, it's starting to sound like you don't know what you're doing, that this is a big load. Where are you, anyway?
I'm next to the waterfall. Do you mind? Do you mind if I'm next to the waterfall? Let me tell you. Mr. Henry, the waterfall is the... Oh, my God, shut the hell up!
What are you doing? The lion sleeps tonight?
The who does what?
What was the song you're singing?
Hey, Eddie, seriously, man, it's really, you're tightening my jaws with that garbage, okay? Knock it off. I didn't know I was doing that.
Yes, that's what you were doing.
I'm trying to find the vibratory...
Yeah, the vibratory tone.
Well, that might be it. I don't know. God. Let me, you know... And don't even know to hold me down. I'm going to the end of the end of the day. Keep my love in the air. Who am I? He's out here. I want to see what happened. Well, it's been built.
building up. I don't know what it is. Okay. Hang on a Beach Boys song.
Okay, tell you what, man. Your whole weekend sucks. Tony Robbins has got my money.
Oh, geez, that's unfair. Oh, that's so unfair. Tony Robbins burned a man alive. He burned feet.
Well, you just put a spike through your own foot.
And, oh, it's so unfair.
And you got Indians, and you can't control anything. You don't know the vibratory tone. You're singing The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
But I sang it pretty good, didn't I? Dean's got a wonder. Dean sings that really well. Can I do it? I'm too depressed. Go, baby, go, 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 go.
All right, thank you, Dean.
Go, 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 go.
Okay, so,
I don't know, man. Did he find the vibratory?
Did he find the vibratory? Not unless it's The Lion Sleeps Tonight or Don't Worry, Baby. I don't know.
No. You go, God, I can't do it. I wish I knew how.
You don't sing as good as Dean, man.
Yeah, right.
You don't. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show coming up. I know we've got some pretty rancid stuff. Oh, David G. Hall and, okay, never. Just David G. Hall's coming up. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. It's very delicate stuff.
Phil Henry.
Phil, 877-876-7445. Why don't you try him again, Bud Dickman? We've got a, we have somebody who's going to, think I got to come on?
Yeah, what?
All I'm looking to do is, to, hello?
Hello?
Why are you, you sound like you're in the very same place that, Dean Wheeler was at.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like to me, too, but I'm not. I'm in my apartment, and that sounds like running water. And I can assure you I'm not.
Okay, hold on. Put him on hold.
You hung up on
him. Why don't you put him in his apartment as opposed to Bud?
What do you mean?
Put him in his apartment, man. You got the running water.
Oh.
You idiot. Anyway, folks, welcome to the program, 877-876-PHIL. We have on the line with us here momentarily... Chris Norton from Norton Splodes, which is the entertainment company. I'm not exactly sure what he is going to be talking about tonight. This is not the kind of a night where the kind of entertainment that he is involved in, to be perfectly frank with you. Are you, you're in your apartment?
Yes, sir. My apartment's near a jet port, and I was going...
Okay, bud.
What?
So just put him. Yeah, that's fine. Hi. So you went to the mall, huh?
Yes, sir. I decided I had to go to the mall and get some. I want to get some another supply of tube socks. And so.
All right, and Chris, how old are you?
I'm 28 years old, sir.
Okay. You had a problem with the coverage, and I don't want to get too heavy into this because I just don't. You had a problem with news coverage this weekend.
Yes, sir, I do. And I wanted to be respectful as I could. And I'm hoping that the people who are listening to your broadcast are going to understand that I simply have a very particular area of interest in what I want to eventually do with my, you know, my life.
And what is that?
Well, I'm hoping right now I do pharmaceutical sales. I'm a telemarketer on a pharmaceutical company in Redondo Beach, California. But eventually I do want to do adult, motion pictures, adult theme, motion pictures.
And you want to, do you want to do porn?
Well, I mean, I don't want to call it that, sir. If you do, you want to go ahead and do that, you go ahead and do. But my feel is, the way I feel it, is that I just would like to do adult-themed films, and that's my goal. The reason why, Mr. Henry, I call your program tonight is those of us who work in the cess industry, and there are millions of people who work in the cess industry, many of them work in the cess industry now, and some work in the cess industry, you know, we're in successful films, you know, adult films doing cess, back, you know. I'm kind of nervous.
Okay, that's all right. I'll help you out. Back, meaning?
Back, to the wall. You know, that's what I'm thinking. Back to the wall. He goes, you know, no. What I'm thinking is, oh, in the 70s. That's what I'm thinking, the 70s. Back, way back, okay? And
okay, so there are people that work in the porn adult film business now, and there are people that worked in the 70s and the 80s.
Yes, sir. There's a long legacy of adult film actors that goes back, way back. And so anyway, those of us that work in...
And do you work as an actor in adult films?
I've done a little bit. I do like to consider myself to, because I have worked in... I've worked in some, I think, some pretty sexy, you know, scenery, and I put on some, I was in a couple of scenes. I did not have no sass, but I did put on some sexy, you know, sexy underwear. So, you know.
Okay.
And anyway, those of us who work in the adult and porn and sass industry honor the name of John Holmes, who was one of the top-notch set, you know, sass actors, or what they call sexters, you know. And the kind of sexter that he was...
you know, I've never heard that term before.
Was that?
I've never heard sexter, or is that what you call him?
Well, it's actually, they try to fudge it to sexter as an actor, but John Leslie, I think, is one of the great, you know, porn set, you know, he's done billions and billions of sass scenes. He's done, and I should say, you know, he's done anal sass. He's done, sass with...
Okay, I trust your accounting of John. What did he say?
Well, John Leslie said... What's up? Yeah? Are you... Oh, really? You're the mother? I could have sworn you're like a sister. You're not the sister? You're hot. Yeah.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah, hold on. I'm on the radio right now. Yeah, I'm sorry, on the radio. Yeah. You're hot. You sure you're not her sister? I think you look just like her sister. You look, right? I said you look just like her sister. Okay, Mr. Henry. So, John Holmes was a... But anyway, John Leslie said, if you call us saxters, it sounds like we play saxophone. And I, you know, I did not think of that, you know. And I thought, that's pretty smart. You know, he's right.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, I mean, to you, it's probably a no-brainer, but for a porn, you know, if you work in porn or sass, any kind of in the sass industry, that's a pretty, you know, smart way, that's a smart thing. So
okay, I'll give Mr. Leslie and, you know, credit for that. He was right. He probably said it because nobody else thought of it.
What are you referring to again?
I'm referring to what you just said.
Oh, yeah, yes, sir.
The Saxters? Saxter?
Yeah, but I mean, that's when he said, why don't we just call ourselves sexters, you know? I'm a full-time sexter. I'm a part-time sexter. What do you do for a living? I'm a sexter, you know? And
do people know what you're talking about?
Sort of. Not really. You know, I usually wind up saying I'm a sex actor. And
why don't you just say you're an adult film actor?
Because it's easier to say sex. You know, I do sex. If I say adult film actor, they think I'm... working in, if I say I'm an adult film actor, they just think I'm working in, like, Buschetti. You know Buschetti, Mr. Henry?
And no, sir, I'm you're losing me, Chris. Why don't we get to what...
but I'm saying, haven't you heard of the Buschetti? What's it called? God, please, God, what is it called, Buschetti?
Please, God, Buschetti.
The Buschetti Westerns.
The Buschetti? You mean Spaghetti Westerns?
Is that what it? Yeah, spaghetti. Yeah, whatever.
How do you pronounce spaghetti?
I say it. A lot of people don't know. A lot of people can't say it. I say it's spaghetti, and I know it's
It's spaghetti, man. You're 28 years old. It's obvious that your young education, first, second grade, kindergarten, when we learn how to read and form words, was not too successful, huh?
Mr. Henry, I can tell you that when I was a 5 year old, it was, well, I better not say, but I knew that I was going to be a sister. Okay. Okay, Mr. Henry.
Okay, that's great. Now, cut to the present time. John Holmes.
Yes, sir. So the point that I wanted to make, and I just wanted to make this point, is John Holmes is... I'm using the phone right now. Yeah, I'm using the phone. Okay. John Holmes, Mr. Henry, is one of the great assessors of all time, and I don't think at this present time people in the news should lose sight of that. I will not mention, as I was told by your producer and by others, that if I did mention any names of anybody that I would be either
hung up on.
Okay, I'm sorry. I guess I wasn't educated like you were saying. You know,
No, you're just a sester, that's all.
Yes, sir. I mean,
Chris, it's shocking to me, sir. Bischetti, all of these words you don't know. I think that it's just a sad thing. It's almost like adult illiteracy. What's that? It's not knowing how to read or write as an adult?
Sir, please. I do know how to. I don't read good, but I do read. And
You do read, huh?
Yes, sir, I do.
Okay. Is there anything that... I tell you what. Do you have anything in front of you that you can read? Didn't we send you some news copy? Did Bud send you that news copy?
Well, he sent me something on adult films. And...
No, well, don't read that. On the other side, there should be a story about Michael Bloomberg.
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, Mr. Henry, I want to talk about John Holmes.
Yeah, I know you want to talk about John Holmes. I just want to see what the level of your literacy is, okay?
Okay, I mean...
I don't want to embarrass you, Chris, but, you know, you got dreams to be an adult actor. Maybe you ought to have dreams of reading a book.
I'm not telling you not to do. My dream is to be assessor, and...
Okay, you got that?
Yes, sir.
Start reading.
Meyer, Blomberg or something. There's Myers Moore.
Meyer Blomberg. Mayor Bloomberg?
Right, Mayor Bloomberg. Kakan.
CNN.
Oh, okay. All right, now it's falling together. Mayor Bloomberg tells CNN, I'm trying to get up on that one word, pyromania. Pyro?
Piers Morgan.
Oh, that's the host of the show. Yeah, okay.
That. The TH is a TH.
Oh, okay. Taha.
Okay, let me take a break here.
No, I can do this, okay?
I know you can, just hang on. 877-876-PHIL. We were going to talk about some problem he's got with the news coverage this weekend. John Holmes, the legendary adult film actor, and all of that stuff. And now this guy is, he can't even read a sentence. To hat. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Truth is our bitch.
What's that word?
The
what's
Phil
that
Henry
word?
Show.
I know how to read, do you?
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
877-876 Phil. Chris Norton is with us. Chris is from Norton Splodes. What is Norton Splodes?
I'm sorry, Mr. I didn't hear you. There's a group of high school students who are coming by now. They've all come out of the coffee lounge. I don't know if you know about coffee. You know, a lot of students will hang, but they're not even in school now on account of it's summertime, right? And so many of the students who go to the coffee lounge, you know, and I am 28 years old, so I don't have nothing to do with little tiny girl, but they're always, like, hitting on me and everything. So I just wanted you to know that, you know, when you do have a sort of accessible, you know, I have an accessible magnet, or how you say that, magnet, or...
Sexual magnetism?
Yeah, I think that's it, yeah. Like, this one girl is, like, right now, she's just standing here. Hi, how you doing? What's your name?
Is there a girl there hitting on you now?
Yeah. How old are you? Oh, she's like 17. You're 17. And are you hot for her? Oh, look at now her other little girlfriends came over. So, I mean, the point that I'm making, Mr. Henry, is my sexuality, and the fact that I wear my cess. My cess is all over me, like, and it's tight on me too. And so, if you look, like, say I was wearing a tight pair of pants, that's what my cess looks like.
Okay, that's great, man. But none of this is getting me any closer to why you called.
I'm sorry.
Which is about John Holmes, the actor.
Yes, sir. Okay, get lost, okay, because I can't have no cess with you. I can't have no cess with you, okay? I'm on the radio right now. I'm talking on a radio show. That's right, yeah. Go off to your little boyfriend and have him show you his model airplanes or whatever. You know?
That's a really dirty, filthy, rotten thing to say to a little kid like that, you know?
What did I do?
I can't have no sex with you.
Well, Mr. Henry,
I just keep your freaking mind on business here. You're on the radio with me, all right?
God, man.
Yeah, that's right. I'm teaching you how to read. I'm teaching you how to act like a human being. You're telling me about, what the hell are you telling me?
I wanted to say, and all I was going to say, and then I'll hang up and go, was that John Holmes is a great, and I think what happened this weekend of the other guy, and I've been hearing him call John Holmes this and John Holmes that, and it means two things, that they're dissing the reputation of one of the great cess actors or cessers, John Holmes. Okay, that's number one. And excuse me, I'm on the phone, man. I'm using the phone. Yeah, I'm using the phone. Oh, I don't care. I'm using it. Oh, I'm using the phone right now, man. Oh, why don't you get a cell phone? Why don't you get a cell phone? Okay, well, why don't you get a cell phone?
Okay, are you done?
Why don't you get it? Hold on. Huh? No, they're gone now.
You know, you're in some kind of a high-trafficked area here, man. You got teenage girls, some guy's picking a fight with the phone. Well,
you know, it's, Mr. Henry, it's the only pay phone. Now,
why don't you have a cell phone?
Oh, excuse me. I mean, I'm not rich. Jeez.
You don't have to be rich to have a cell phone. Anyway, go ahead.
So, all I want to say is that John Holmes, who's one of the great cessers, and was one of my idols when I decided I wanted to be in this, you know, to become a sasser. And the news reporters have called him this guy this weekend, John Holmes.
Okay, so they've made a mistake.
Well, I think it also says that a lot of them are John Holmes and Robert, you know, and they're pretending like they're all loyal, that they're all moral and everything, while they're watching Sess. And probably watching, you know, the sexual antics and the sexuality of John Holmes. Probably wishing that they were packing the sex machine that John Holmes was. And instead, they're calling this guy John Holmes.
All right, so let's put it out there right now. You news reporters, would you please use the correct name and not keep calling the guy John Holmes, because John Holmes was a respected sexter.
Yes, sir, that's exactly right. One of the most excellent sessers that has ever been, and the excellence of his work will be forever down in the history. That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much, Chris, and it's been a pleasure.
And I just wanted to also say that I like your show, and if you want any cess manuals, Mr. Henry, I've got some cess manuals you can give away on your show. What?
Well, I'm going to give away what?
I don't know what you're like. I have sex manuals you can give away.
Sex manuals?
Yes, sir.
No, that's fine, man. That's fine.
Well, I mean, they're...
No, that's okay. Good luck, Chris, in your career. We'll hope that the memory of the great sexter John Holmes is honored.
Yeah, okay. Do you hold the door on that, man? Is that good? Is that the bus going uptown? Okay, the bus is here, Mr. Henry.
All right, so I don't know, bud. You know, that's your call.
Well, you can't say that it's me. I told you.
You said you had a guy that wanted to talk about names. You know, John Holmes as opposed to, but I didn't know it was going to turn into this guy hitting on teenage girls. And to be perfectly honest with you, the guy doesn't talk too good, you know.
I was thinking the same thing, man. What? You didn't hear that, man? Well, what? You didn't hear that guy was talking about cess? He didn't say no sex, says cess. Well, that's what difference does that make? What would that do if he spoke it good?
What would that do? People would understand what he's saying, man. He's in a loud freaking hall, bud. How many times have I told you? How many times?
I told a guy, you go in a yogurt shop, and he said, we can't go in a yogurt shop because there are little teeny girls in there, and they're all going, ew, ew. So I go, okay, can you go down where the old people is? He goes, there's an organ store. I go, you mean penis? And he goes, no, you idiot.
What are you talking about, man?
He said there was an organ store.
An organ store like you play?
Well, yeah, he finally said.
Okay, go ahead.
God. And so he goes, there's an organ store. And I said, and that's why I said, you mean like penis? And he goes, no. He goes, you said we're old people. And I said, well, I don't know what you mean, unless they're old people that don't have no penises. And
all right, will you shut up with that man and get to the point?
It was the organ store what you play.
No kidding.
Yeah, man.
But you're nude, and why are you saying that?
Bud. You know, the things that you, the stuff I got to tell you should never have to be told to any real human being. Hey, did that screen go red all of a sudden?
No, I just think you're tired, man.
Yeah, I must be. My eyes must be wearing out because all of a sudden the screen went red on me. All right. So what I'm saying to you, bud, is you did a good job. I'm sorry to yell at you, bud. You did a good job, you know. You checked out where's a good quiet place, right?
Yeah, then I said, okay, if that's where the old people are, go over there.
Okay, so question. How is it then when you told him to go over to the organ store that he winds up in a stairwell with people all around him?
That was where the organ store was, in a stairwell.
Yeah, it was a little small one.
The organ store was in a stairwell?
Yeah. Going out of business.
Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
You understand, right?
Oh, sure.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That is our internet headquarters. That's where we are located, and that is that's a special place because our backstage pass subscribers, viewers, go there to access over 10 years of full audio shows, also to watch our nightly video cast. You can access our video archives. We have in a sort of a special separate section a year's worth of our Saturday night shows, our local Los Angeles Saturday night shows, as well as a year's worth of the video casts. We have TV pilots that we've done, one animated pilot, one live-action TV pilot. We have video and radio interviews that we've done and other appearances. And so it's a very sizable media library. And it's there for you as a Backstage Pass subscriber to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And when you watch our radio show, when you watch us perform our radio show, it's much, much different from any other radio show you've ever seen. And that's all, you know.
Yeah, tell them more.
No. I'm not going to say any more than that.
No, I'll give a little bit.
No, no, that's it. You're going to have to watch it to find out. PhilHendryShow.com. A reminder that today, episode 21 of the free Phil Hendry podcast is out. Remember, it's the free Phil Hendry podcast. You can access that on iTunes. You can get it at Podcast Directory. You can get it at Stitcher. You can get it at all kinds of places. The free. You can get it on our website by going to the podcast banner. And just hit that, it'll direct you to how to download episode 21 of the world famous, the free Phil Hendry podcast. One other little thing that we've sort of been remiss, so forgive me, guys, if I just kind of go on a little bit here. We're at twitter.com/realphilhendry. That's twitter.com/realphilhendry. And before I forget, Dean Wheeler and his wife, Emerelda, are also on Twitter. And I know that Dean wanted me to mention that, and I have been remiss. It is twitter.com/DEA N-E, Emerelda, and Emerelda, E-M-E-R-E. I don't know how to spell it, but...
Well, man, how are they going to find it, man?
I don't know, man. What do you want me to do?
Better call him up. Is he going to call up and call David Hall? Probably have a cow.
What do you... What, but look at... I got stuff I got to do.
You're going to...
Hey, so I'll do that, okay?
Yeah, but Mr. Hall said don't do it.
Well, are you Mr. Hall? Well, are you Mr. Hall? Are you David Hall? Are you the boss?
You ain't the boss, man. Yeah, but he said Phil's not supposed to go.
I'm not going. You got me so pissed off sometime, bud. I can't find the word, all right? So what were we talking about?
Mr. Demerelda or whatever the guy's name is.
Yo, here's a guy. You can't even pronounce the guy's name.
He's going to get pissed off.
So what am I supposed to do?
Better call him up, find out how to spell it.
Go ahead, man.
All right.
More wasted time. I'm telling you, I've never in my life seen anything like it. We got him on the line? All right, Mr. Wheeler? Mr. Wheeler?
David Hall.
Why did you... Oh, my God, David, I'm sorry.
No, he called me up. You need to know how to spell Dean Wheeler?
Yeah, I told him to call up Mr. Wheeler.
Why is he going to call that guy up and bother him while he's in the middle of having those Indians or whatever he's doing? He's not, apparently, he got a spike through his foot from what he was doing on the air with you.
Well, that's not my fault, man.
Oh.
No, it's not my fault. Not my fault at all. So, you going to tell me how we spell his name?
Yeah, for your listeners out there that want to go to Dean and Emerelda on Twitter, you go to twitter.com/DEANEEMERELDA.
So there's no and?
No, there's no and. It's just Dean Emerelda. That's what it is. Dean Emerelda. DEANEEMERELDA. Something like that. I don't know.
Something like that. Boy, we're really getting close, huh?
Well, I don't know, Phil.
But then why is he calling you?
Because I don't want him bothering Mr. Wheelman.
And Mr. Wheeler.
Mr. Wheeler, yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, thanks very much, David.
And by the way, I just wanted to let you know, well, you don't want to talk about it, so...
Well, I don't want to talk about it. I will not talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. My listeners are not even going to know what it is that we're discussing. Maybe next week.
Boy, that, you know, you'd almost think that you run things around here.
I do. When it comes to you and me, I outrank you.
All I'm trying to do... Forget it.
God, everybody's such a baby.
Yeah, well, you didn't like him, man.
I don't care. I told him no, and I mean no. And is that lady going to call in again, right?
No, I'm going to give her a call, too, and find out if she wanted to.
What are you doing, bud?
I'm calling her up right now. I've got to get to the bottom of it.
Get to the bottom of what, man? God almighty. She home?
Guess not.
Oh, my God.
Hello?
No, she didn't answer. I thought she answered. Really? No, I'm hearing it ringing.
Yeah, me too. Hello? Oh.
Are you deaf or something?
Why?
What are you saying hello for, man? It's not... No one's picking it up.
Okay, right now. Hello? No.
What an idiot. Try it again.
Well, she's not home.
All right.
I'll do it one more time.
If you're going to do it, do it. If you're not going to do it, don't do it, because I got to get into some other stuff. Yeah.
Okay, let me, what happened to the restaurant? Where's the restaurant, for God's sake? Oh, yeah. Hello, Kids of Beverly Hills.
Never mind.
Why, you dirt.
You want to do this one more time, bud, and then we can,
get an easier board to work with.
Well, we just work with what we... Is this you, Ted?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Wait a sec.
What is it with you, man?
I don't know her number.
And what was her problem?
We had a lot of old ladies calling in. They want to know.
Oh, no, no. No, 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 no.
Then that's a no.
I guess so. No. You understand what I'm saying? No.
Diddle Natalie Holloway.
Hey, I'm going to belt you guys, and I mean, I'm literally going to put both you guys out. I am not going to discuss it. I am not going to discuss it. There's a time and a place. What happened in Aurora, you know what? I'm not even going to befoul the tragedy by even talking to you idiots about why it is we're not going to do shtick. Do you understand me?
Yeah.
Okay. You understand me?
Yeah.
In a couple of days, we can talk about it.
God.
Hey, bud, I'm not kidding.
You beat me up and everything?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would. If you open your mouth one more time, I will kick your ass, and then I'll throw you out into the street. I'll let the cops come down for when they do their evening patrol, and they'll just see you laying there, and they'll throw you in jail overnight because they'll think you're a drunk old wino or something.
Ha, ha, ha. Shut up.
Yeah, well, you know. Okay, other news that's about the most bizarre thing in the world, whatever that was. We can give you this news, and I think in a lot of ways that this is probably the news that you would want to report, and I don't particularly think it is bad news, and that is that The Dark Knight Rises has debuted to great popularity. Official numbers are in. The final chapter in Christopher Nolan's Batman saga, The Dark Knight Rises, earned a gargantuan $160 million in its opening weekend, the third best debut of all time and the best ever for a 2D movie. The haul, which includes $19 million for 332 IMAX screens, $19 million for the IMAX screens, is just slightly ahead of The Dark Knight's $158.3 million debut in 2008 and slightly behind Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2's $169 million. Prognosticators said the film would finish somewhere between $180 and $200 million. They were wrong. During its first 3 days, I, says this writer, whoever this is, predicted $192 million. But the tragic shooting at a midnight screening of The Dark Knight Rises in Aurora, Colorado on Friday may have dissuaded some moviegoers from heading out to the theater over the weekend. Before any news of the tragedy had broken, midnight grosses for The Dark Knight Rises proved robust. The film earned $30.6 million at midnight, the second best total ever behind Harry Potter. I mean, suffice to say, this was a very popular film. And great cast, great director, well done, and the kind of fantasy tale. And it's really interesting. What does Batman represent? What does he represent? You know, he represents what we want. He represents what we want. We want order. We want a guy that'll come out of the night. We want somebody who is darker and is more fleet of foot and is more, can skulk through the alleyways better. In other words, we want somebody who is just as black as the criminal element that he fights. Someone who is comfortable in their environment of darkness and alleyways and night. Someone who isn't afraid of any of that. Someone who takes them on toe-to-toe and can kick their asses. That's what we want. Someone who isn't afraid of the dark. Batman. And that's what we want. And you know, it makes me laugh, man. It's almost like there was a book that I read once. It was... Well, if I say who wrote it, then everybody's going to get sidetracked by who wrote it.
Malcolm X?
Thanks a lot, bud. Okay.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Because I say Malcolm X wrote this book, and people go, well, what does he know? Malcolm X once said, and I think it's true, by the way, if you want to know the real nature of a woman, watch her when she's dancing. Well, I think the same kind of thinking can be applied to any society. If you really want to know the true sense and feeling of the people living in that society, what are the movies they're watching?
Well, yeah, but what they go and see, like, Friday at 13 and everything.
Well, that don't mean they want to be Jason.
Maybe they do.
No, bud, it means that they want to go see Jason get his ass kicked, even though they kind of dig that Jason sort of avenges certain things. There's all kinds of crap going on with those movies, man. There's a little revenge thing happening. Well, they want to see Jason kind of get revenge on some of the, you know, the scenes where even Jason was a good guy at some point. But they also want to eventually, you know, sort of take on this evil. We want to take on this every kind of dark. There's a part of the brain called the shadow. It's the shadow. That's what Carl Jung called the shadow. That's our darkest fears. That's our aggression. That's our anger. That's the real dark part of us. Okay, and yet we need the shadow because it gives us our. It gives us our focus. It gives us our stick-to-itiveness. It gives us the kind of anger that we need sometimes to surmount problems. So it's a double-edged sword. But in that shadow are all of these horrible nightmares and fears that we have. Well, Jason, Friday the 13th, that's what that is.
Well, it gives me nightmares. I didn't have no nightmare on it before it.
Yes, you did. You had plenty of nightmares before Jason came out. Plenty of them, man. So, I mean, that's why we watch those movies. Same with The Dark Knight. So, you know, I can listen to people talking about all this horse dung. Well, I don't know whether we should have guns, or I don't know this, and I don't know that, right? Well, the very same people that are asking whether we ought to have guns or not are going out to see Batman kicking ass. And Batman's got guns.
Well, he don't have like a... He's got cool guns. Yeah, he's got more like guns that help him, you know, swing from a building and stuff.
Oh, get out of here. He's got more crap on that freaking bat car. What do you call that, man?
Not a gun.
It's a gun. It's a piece of weaponry, dude. Privately owned. You know, I'd like to see the license for it. Where does Batman get his license for that thing?
Probably went out and bought a special license on account of Commissioner Gordon or something, I would imagine. Yeah, if you think about it.
Oh, okay. Well, let me spend a lot of time thinking about how Batman got his bat car licensed. You know, Commissioner Gordon.
Well, don't you think that would be the special...
They'd probably give him a special license to drive it, don't you?
Yes, of course. In the little made-up fancy world of Batman, yes, that's right. Commissioner Gordon said, Batman, you know, I trust you. You can drive around town in this thing that has nuclear warheads, for all I know.
No, I don't have no... I'm sure he's not going to do that.
Yeah, they wouldn't let Batman do that.
Oh, they wouldn't let Batman do that. Well, I'm sure that if they didn't want Batman to do something, they'd just go right down and arrest his ass. Now, wouldn't they?
Yeah, Batman would allow it if they said.
Yeah, you know, you're probably right, guys.
No, I don't think so.
No, you're right. Batman would allow. But that's what we want. Do you understand? There's no one in the world that we can look to and say the guy is so moral. He's so moral. And so high-minded that even with all that power, he would submit ultimately to the authority of law. Because we want that. All this other feel-good bullcrap about no guns is put to the test by the numbers of people. There's $160 million, man! $160 million so we can give voice to our deepest desires. Which is someone who is an extra-legal arm of the police. Somebody who isn't even, you know, doesn't even work for the police. He's sort of in an adjunct position. The police call on him when they can't do anything. And then Batman comes in and kicks ass, you know.
What do you think Superman's doing on a day when he's there?
You know, I was thinking about that. They probably alternate.
Yeah, I'm sure. On odd days, maybe Batman. On even days,
Yeah, Superman.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh, you get out of here. When do they use Batman and when do they use Superman? Oh, we have to break? See, there you go.
If you was Batman, you wouldn't have to break.
You're right, but I have to break because I ain't Batman. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Just that line that we have there to Northern California, was that it?
No, that's Ted on a Beverly Hills.
Ted's a Beverly Hills. All right, let's go. Karen, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, Phil Hendry, we have been howling tonight with laughter. This has been a wonderful radio program we're listening to tonight, and we're really enjoying it, Phil. This is Karen Deauville. Phil?
Okay, yes, Karen, how are you?
We're having such a good time. I wanted to you a question, and maybe you can answer it, maybe you can't. I don't know. Herb is here, my brother Jerry, who you talked to last week. Jerry, you remember Jerry?
I do, yes.
Jerry has promised that he is going to just sit in the chair, Jerry. Is that right?
Oh, don't. You do that.
Yeah. Okay, honey. Phil, I want to ask you a question. Can I do that?
You don't have to whisper.
Oh, I know that, honey, but I don't know. I'm a little embarrassed. But first of all, I really want to let you know. We are having a ball. That's number one.
Okay.
No, hold on. That's number one, but there's number two. Number two is, I want to ask you, and this isn't really one of my... I want to ask you a question. Phil, do you do personal appearances?
Yeah, I do.
Do you charge money?
I do sometimes, and sometimes I don't.
Oh, my God. I don't want to talk to you. Is there someone I talk to?
You can talk to my publicist, and I'll give you her name. You can also talk to my other producer here, Bud Dickman.
I talked to Bud when I called in. Is he the one? He sounds like he's a little bit retarded.
Why don't you shut your mouth and everything?
Shut up, Bud.
What?
No, nothing. No, he's not. He was in a very serious motorcycle accident.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
No, it's fine. He was in a very serious motorcycle accident, and Bud's fine. His mind works fine. He's got some nerve damage.
All right. I thought he was on that I'm sorry. I don't mean to whisper.
No, my mother does the same thing, or she did, God rest her soul.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Is your mother gone? Is she gone?
Yeah, my mom.
When did she die, dear?
My mother died in 2006.
What month? I don't want to bring up anything painful, but what month?
In January.
In January, okay. Herb, where is my, not the astrology book, where are the death charts? Phil, can I do a death chart?
No, I'd rather that you not.
All right, honey, I'm so sorry.
You don't want to do that.
What is that? My husband stutters. I'm calling Bud Dick. Honey, I love you, but you sound so stupid, you know?
You did too.
No, I don't. Phil,
No, I got to take a break now, okay?
Well, can I hang on?
All right, hang on, but I don't know if I can get to her, Bud. 877-876-PHIL.
You don't know if you can get to her, Bud?
I said I don't know if I can get to her, Bud.
Oh, okay. It sounded like you'd get to her butt right away. It sounded perverted or something.
Never mind. The world famous Phil Henry Show, News and Information Hour, coming up next.
Phil Henry.
It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. And we're going places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. It's too late now, boys. Nonetheless, it's nice to be with you. We're here every night, Monday through Friday. We're also online at philhenryshow.com with Phil TV and HD, which is our live video cast of each and every single solitary live show that we do. And we have as well philhenryradio.com, where you can download our podcast. It's free. You go over to philhenryshow.com, and it's a backstage pass, which affords you thousands of hours of great audio. philhenryradio.com is a free site. We have 24/7 streaming material from our archives. We also have our podcast there, though, there for you to listen to and to get a sense, get a taste, get a feel for the show. And perhaps I shouldn't use that word taste as we pick through the news today after one of the most horrific bits of news that any of us have ever encountered. In its own way, it's probably more traumatic than anything you could possibly imagine. Even the attacks of 9/11 had their own horror. But this thing that happened in Miami is something right out of, well, it's something right out of a, you know, a psycho thriller of some kind, because it's real, and it's it involves mental illness, it involves homelessness, it involves being defenseless, it involves being defenseless both as a victim and also as the perpetrator, we're finding out, is a man that could well have been either psychotic or, and I'm not excusing this, he might have been under the influence of a hallucinogen called bath salts, which, excuse me for being stupid, but and I don't think I'm alone here, but I think there were a lot of people who thought, can you take bath salts and like process it into a hallucinogenic? I didn't know that, but and that's the way I was thinking. It's silly, but nonetheless, it is true. And this has affected a lot of people in a lot of different ways. It's a national story. Joining us on the line from Corona, California, is Stephen Bozell, whose family is his wife, his daughter, his son. They have been following this news as well. Steve, thanks for joining us as just a guy out there. And you and I are both here in California. Is there something about this crime that seems specifically East Coast?
I have to say that I'm listened to a little bit to the commentary, and this is completely out of my experience, and you just said it very well. It's the kind of crime that you would think could be made up in that Hannibal Lecter or some sort of thing like that, but you never think that this sort of thing is going to happen.
And yet, you know, with all the vastly improved communication and the need for news, we have, as I've often said, we have a million different ways of delivering information now, but there isn't a whole hell of a lot that people have to say. So what's happening is they're just news, the delivery of news has become almost indiscriminate. And I'm not saying that they should report things like this, but it does become national.
Well, I think you made a good point a while back, Phil, when you said that now a neighborhood prank becomes a cause for national news because we think there's something wrong with our children. I think it was...
I think that was a story about an outhouse.
Yeah, there was an outhouse that had been turned over, and a kid was inside it. And it's just a neighborhood prank, but that made the national news because today we take everything as some sign that the society is falling apart. I think that this one particular crime, though, has thrown me off.
And in what way?
I don't know. It has caused me concern as to the state of mental health, of drug use, and just what's going on. And it's thrown me off.
And when you say it's thrown you off, what do you mean? Is it tough to work?
Well, yeah, it's tough to concentrate. I was thinking of this thing of this particular crime all day long, and I had mentioned to Jerry, who is our executive secretary, that I was concerned about this guy in Miami who'd eaten the guy's face, and she said to me that yeah, she'd heard the story. When I mentioned it to her again just after lunch, she started to act, I think, a little rude.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, she just didn't want to listen to me. I wanted to talk to her, and I went over and I talked to Cliff, who's on our crew. I tried to talk to and I tried to communicate to as many people as I could what's going on and what's going down. And you don't really get the understanding because I think everybody's processing it differently.
We're talking with Steve Bozell about the Miami. They're calling it the Miami Cannibal case. What do you think of that?
I think that it's what that, and that's what it is. And
well, I mean, a cannibal is someone that consciously eats human flesh for, you know, in the last organized cannibal societies that I ever heard of were in the South Pacific for a way of absorbing the bravery of their opponent. It was almost like a spiritual thing.
I don't know. Cannibal is someone that eats flesh. You mentioned Walking Dead. I need to get myself together, and I don't know what kind of individuals are running around and what we're going to do about it. I know that I'm being manipulated by the news media. You mentioned cannibal. You mentioned I'm being forced into thinking a certain way this is a zombie attack. And I know that that's happening to me, and I resent it because I do believe it. And as a result, I need to get my head together. And I think a lot of American men are going to be feeling the same way, or a lot of Americans are going to be feeling the same way.
All right, we're talking with Stephen Bozell from Corona, a father and a business owner, about the Miami attack. When you say that you need to get your head together because you've been manipulated, but you know you're being manipulated, if you know you're being manipulated, why don't you stop being manipulated? You know what I mean?
I am. Whenever I know it, and I know what I'm being manipulated, I can look at a newspaper headline and I can see Miami cannibal story. And I will say, that's them trying to manipulate me, and they have. Now, I'm scared, okay? If you check it out, it's really interesting, and I would encourage your audience members to check it out. Check out what's happening to you. They say Miami cannibal, and then you get scared. You know you're being manipulated, and now you're scared because you have been manipulated. And then the next thought is you need to get your head together. And I don't know too many people that are going to take the steps that I'm taking, which is to get out of town and just get off by myself so I can process this information. I've got a wife and I've got two children that I love very, very much. But I've got to get out of here because I'm afraid that this kind of thing may happen again. I don't know where, and I need to process this. I need to know, how am I being manipulated? Why am I still being manipulated when I know I am? And I also need to get clear of the major urban area that I live in, so this doesn't happen to me. And so I need to process all of this, and the only way I can do that, I've got a friend who has a lot.
Just to interrupt you, Steve, you're looking to leave alone or with your family?
No, I have to leave alone. I've got to get away. I'd take them with me, but I don't have right now. We don't have the funds to take the whole family. I need to get out and process this. I wish I could afford to take my wife and my kids. I need to leave them back in L.A., and I got to get out of there, because if this is some kind of a...
Look, you're sounding almost like you believe in some massive zombie attack.
No, I don't believe that. What I'm saying is, sir, if there's a drug, they said there's a drug, they're using a drug, you know, and there's other incidences of this. I'm not saying I don't believe there's zombies, although I do get scared of it because I've been manipulated. I can't explain it. I wish I could make the words come out the way I need them to come out, because
What I'm hearing you say is that you're very frightened by the event that happened in Miami.
Yes, sir.
All right, and you are being further frightened by the news media. You know you're being manipulated by them, but you're still letting it happen somehow, and so you need to leave town?
I need to get... I think when you say I need to leave town, it makes me sound like I'm some kind of a, you know, as we used to say in school, a CS, you know, a chicken.
Okay.
I'm not a CS. I just need to get out and process this at my friend's, who lives up. He's got a lodge up in Ontario, Canada. You've asked me if I'm going to take my family. I know it makes me sound like I don't have no guts, but I can't afford to take them too, is all I'm saying. And I know what that makes me sound like, but I'm not that.
Well, if you're not taking your family because you can't afford it, but you can afford to send yourself, why wouldn't you send your family?
Well, I can't afford to send all of them, so I'm going myself. I know it's
it's like you're saving yourself.
Somebody has to be saved. I mean, if this were to happen, someone would have to be saved. It makes more sense that I be saved, and I don't want anything to happen to my family.
I understand that.
But I need to get my head together because they're handling it better than me. And that's the only thing I can say about it.
All right, so this is not about you being saved. You need to get your head together because your family, which is your son, Stephen, you got your daughter and your wife, they're handling this better than you. You're in need of some...
Yeah.
Well, what about medication? What about hospitalization?
No, I'm not. No, sir, I'm not crazy. I just need to process what to do if this gets bigger than it is right now.
All right, let's talk on the other side of our break. Stephen Bozell is our guest as he talks about how frightening the Miami cannibal attack was to him. So frightening that he feels the need to leave town, to get away from the city that he lives in, and process this, get his head together, and calm down. His wife and kids remain at home. 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. With us is Steve Bozell from Corona, California. And we're going to be talking as well, I think, later on in this hour with Jay Santos, Citizens Auxiliary Police, about the attack in Miami. Very gruesome, extremely traumatic to read about. And the first thing that I think everybody feels for the victim. And, Steve, what was your first reaction when you heard the story?
I want to say that I felt for the victim. I did. I was also, the first thought was that I need to get to a place. Your first thought is to get to a place of safety. I'm not saying that there's that this is going to happen to me. I mean, that was in Miami, but your first reaction, obviously, is to get to a place of safety. And that's why I felt that I needed, and I do need to get to Ontario. My family will be here. I feel really in my bones they'll be okay.
So the first thought you had wasn't for the victim, it was for yourself.
No, Mr. Hendry,
Well, I mean, that's what you're saying. I'm not judging you, but...
No, sir, that is not what I... No. My first thought was for the safety of that man, but I also thought of him. I saw myself in him. I saw myself in that man. And that troubled me.
All right, let me take a phone call because I know there's an awful lot that you're processing here. 877-876-PHIL as we talk with Stephen Bozell about the Miami, so-called Miami cannibal attack. Here is Trey. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Trey, go ahead, please.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know this isn't the first time something like that has happened that's been drug-related. Back,
uh-huh.
I read this about a year ago, and it was a few years back when this happened. I'm not exactly sure. Like I said, I read it a year ago, so I might not have the whole story in my mind anymore, but a guy was on PCP and broke into this girl's house, raped her, and then proceeded to eat her face and part of her lungs, and then the police found him naked running down the street shouting at the sky.
That's messed up, Steve.
Yeah, he was on PCP.
I'm not aware of that story. You say it was on PCP. What city? Do you know the city that that gentleman was in, sir?
I have no clue. You can Google it, though. It's out there.
Because this is what I was saying about this being more than one time.
But when you say more than one time, it's not an epidemic, though.
Well, no, like this was years back when it happened.
Right.
Okay, sir, this is Steve Ozell. When you say years back and it was influenced by drugs, it is possible that if someone is using PCP or any other kind of sedative hypnotic, of course, PCP is also a stimulant, that you can, you've heard, too, about how these people take their clothes off. And probably because...
I think they do that because they get warm. I think the body's temperature or something, or the blood pressure goes up, and they strip their clothes off.
Okay, but what was the other guy? His clothes was off. And my fear was that it was some kind of a gay... If it was a gay encounter that went wrong... So, I think...
Let me ask you...
Yeah. Let me ask you, Trey, do you ever feel frightened enough to leave the city and go someplace else to be safe?
No, not at all.
That makes me sound, Mr. Henry, like I'm...
Well, but isn't that what you're doing?
I'm doing it. I want to process it. All I'm saying is, this gentleman brought up one case where a man ate a woman's face. You had a man get his face eaten in Miami. That's too many for me. And I think a normal, prudent response would be for me to check flights out of Los Angeles.
Even though this took place in Miami?
Yes, sir.
All right, Trey. Thanks for your call, sir.
What happens in Ontario?
Did you hear that, Steve?
What's that?
What if it happens in Ontario, Canada?
If it happens in Ontario, Canada, where I'm going to be in Ontario, though, sir, is away from the major metropolitan area. Are you saying it would happen in the wooded area, in the woods, something? That's where I'm...
Hey, drug users can wander around anywhere, right?
That's right.
Well, you see, what I'm trying to do is get away from it and process it so when I come back to my family, I can feel like a man for the first time and not be scared.
It sounds but more if like you need to go to a deserted island or something where there's not going to be any chance of anybody coming around.
I you know, I know that this makes me sound as if I...
It sounds a little cowardly, sir.
Excuse me, sir, but I would fight to the death for my family.
Then why are you going to Ontario to a lodge far away from everything?
I need to process what's going on. Are you not... Don't you feel that a guy eating someone's face is something you need to process? It is for me.
It's a guy who was nuts on drugs, who committed a heinous crime. Cops see it every day. It's sick. It's messed up. It's part of our urban environment today. The drug use is out of control. We have to get help for these people. That's what happened.
And if this guy finds me, like this gentleman says, in the woods of Ontario, and I get my face, you know, removed at a fishing lodge, think about that.
All right. Trey, thank you, sir, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We are talking with Stephen Bozell. When you say at a fishing lodge, Steve...
I mean, that's where I'm going to be. That's what I told my wife and my children, that I would be there. I don't want them to bother me, and I know when I told your producer that, he immediately came back with what I thought was not a very, I thought it was very rude for you. He said, are you just going to go up there and cry and hide? I said, no, sir, I'm not. I'm going up there to get to process it and get my head together. And if you can sit there with news about a man who decides that the best thing for him to have for lunch, and I'm being funny, but or I'm trying to be, and I don't think I am funny, but or at least not now, I don't feel like it, but the best thing he can think of for a late afternoon snack is to go ahead and have face. I don't think any of that, Mr. Henry, is anything you think about. I think you look for a place to go where you can process.
All right, well, the word process sounds a little bit like, you know, you're afraid. Stephen Bozell reacting, this man is reacting to the crime in Miami by leaving his family and going somewhere far away to get away from what he thinks could be an epidemic of this kind of violence. 877-877, I don't know how you leave your family if you're worried about something like that. 877-876-7445. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show. I'll be right back.
Bad guys, you're having face.
Phil Henry. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On the line with me is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, as we're discussing with him this, with him as a father and as a husband, and there's others. We're going to have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on with us later. Talking about this attack in Miami, this vicious, horrific attack that...
I'm sorry, we have. I'm just trying to. What do we got there? Okay, I'm sorry, folks. I just had a slight technical problem. Stephen, I didn't mean to leave you in the lurch there, sir.
It's all right.
We're going to take some phone calls, but the last comment we had was from someone saying that, you got to go to a desert island.
No. What I'm trying to do, and I'm trying to educate your listeners as well as you, Mr. Henry, what I'm trying to educate you is there's a difference between being processing it from a safe distance.
What about your family?
Okay, well, hold on. There's a difference between processing from a safe distance an event that is seems to be from a dream world but is real, and that is a man who's decided to eat another man. And that happened on a causeway in Miami, sir.
But what about your family? When you say processing from a safe distance...
See, again, this is the manipulation of the media. When they are telling me there's cannibal killers, and now you come along and you talk to me about my family. And you can talk to me about my family all you want, sir. But I know that the media has made it worse, not better. They come on and say there's a cannibal killer, or they go, they say, the zombies are loose, or however they say it. And you come on and you ask me about, if I'm going to man up. And all of this is a manipulation of the media, which is, that's why I need to process and get my head together, because it's a shower of you-know-what. It's a shower of BS. And
no, I don't think it's a shower of BS to ask that question, what about your family? 877-876-PHIL, because you are leaving. You want to leave town and get to a safe distance, but the family, your wife, your son, your daughter, are still here. Here is Robert on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, what's going on, everyone? How's it going?
Yes, sir.
Hey.
Yes, sir. Hello.
Hi. My dad, who's, my greatest hero right now, throughout my life, really, he told me something when I was growing up, and, obviously my voice, you could tell that I'm not very old. I'm 24. I own my own business. I'm in Newport Beach, but he told me that, being a man, it's not your age. I'm sorry?
You're in Newport Beach where, sir? Is that
Newport
in California?
Beach, in California, yeah. So,
okay.
Maybe an hour away from you.
Okay.
You're up in Corona, so I'm right down in Newport Beach. But, he
yes,
says,
sir.
Being a man really isn't the fact of being your age, Society puts a thing on being an adult, and adult is, what your age is, 21, 18, whatever it may be. But he said that being a man is the difference of, standing up to fear, to stand up to your problems. When you come to that brick wall, to break through it, you may not always be able to do it by yourself, but, with the support of your family, in your case. Now, I'm not trying to tell you what to do by any means at all, because, you have children and you experience a love that I, right now do not know. He said, with the experience of your family,
You talked about your father, and now you do not know the love. Well, I don't understand that. See, this is what scares me.
Yep.
And he doesn't have a family as you do. He's talking about he loves his father, but he's not yet a father himself.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Okay.
Go ahead, sir.
So you don't think that it's a viable fact that being a man is actually standing up for your family? In the worst case scenario, you're going to be there. You're going to be the head of that family and lead them through the darkest of times. Even if you think that maybe like two incidences is the darkest of times, you're saying that you will leave?
Well, yes, son, but I don't mean to call you son. I mean, I realize you're a man.
Yeah, I know, that's fine. We're being popular.
And in a lot of ways, you're more, you own your own business at 24.
I'm a U.S.
government. See, that's again, and I have to ask Mr. Henry, do you know who this man is, sir?
Who's that?
The gentleman on the phone.
No, I don't know this gentleman.
Because this, I wondered if Mr. Henry had set this call up, because you owning your own business at 24, that makes me feel like less of a man. I don't feel like...
Sounds right?
No, I'm saying I feel like even less of a man now that you have your own business.
This young man, you feel less
of a man. No, see...
Look at Steve, you have said you want to leave town to process all of this stuff. You're leaving your family behind. You're challenged and you're feel inferior to this young man who has his own business. What's going on with you?
What is going on with me, sir, is a guy 8-face in Miami. And both of you gentlemen think it's just another day at this beach.
No, I don't.
That's exactly not it at all. The grim reality is that someone got obviously a bad batch of drugs, you know, and
we don't know. We don't know what happened, you know. We don't know what happened. He might have had a bad batch. The guy might be psycho. But you're right. You're right. There's something happened that caused, there's something happened that caused a psychotic event.
And that's why I need to process it. That's why I need to get it out of town as fast as I can.
And leave your family here. And that's the thing that is causing me some consternation. And I would say that your father was absolutely right, Robert, when he said, that, you know, I heard it said, Mark Twain said it. It's not getting rid of fear. It's not being afraid. It's challenging fear and overcoming it, which I think is
correct.
What your dad was saying.
Did you say that way? I said it poorly, of course.
No, you said it you said it better than I quoted Mark Twain. Maybe if we had Mark Twain here.
Mr. Andrew, you're talking to this young man like I don't even exist.
I was just complimenting him on his father's tuition of him, of his education of this young man. I think it's thank God we have fathers like that. Don't you agree?
Yes, I do. But are you saying that I'm not one of them?
I'm saying you could be. I'm saying at this particular time, I want to know why it is you want to leave your children and your wife, though.
Oh, that makes me some kind of a chicken.
You know what, Steve? Robert, thank you for your call. I appreciate it, man. Good call. 877. All right, 877-876-7445. Let's go here to Joe. Hey, Joe, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Steve Bozell.
But I want to follow up.
Yes, sir.
Just responding off what the last caller, Robert, said, just all in all, just listening, I just wanted to make one little comment. I'm a trucker. I travel all across the nation. After hearing that incident about the guy getting his face ate off, in no way, shape, or form did I feel that my family was in harm up in Ohio. And the same thing after the Jeffrey Dahmer, another cannibal,
That's a good point.
Did the caller, did he up and move away after that happened? Or, is he just find a different, thing?
When the Jeffrey Dahmer incident happened, I delayed. I was engaged to be married, and we delayed the engagement because I felt I didn't know what was going to happen. And
wait, you delayed what?
I'm sorry, I said delayed. We delayed the marriage. I was engaged, and we had a scheduled marriage. If you remember, the Dahmer incident happened sometime in September of, I think it was 91. And I, or 90, and we were supposed to be married that month, and I put it off because I needed to check that out. What's going on with that?
So the answer, yeah, go ahead, Joe.
I don't think it's the cannibal thing is the issue. I think there's an underlying issue that he has to deal with, and I just think he, in my own opinion, that he's using this. As a cover-up for another issue. Like I said, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much, sir. Drive carefully. Yeah, drive carefully, too. That's Joe. All right, so there's a couple of opinions that essentially...
what they're essentially saying is that I don't have the, I don't have the sand, and I anticipated that because, again, the media manipulation that's gone on, for me to walk by a newsstand and I see zombies on the loose, or they don't...
There's no headline that says that.
No, I know that, but that's what I see because of the manipulation. But I thank God, Mr. Henry, I'm above intelligence, or I'm above the intelligence. How do you...
You're above average.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry. That I know I'm being manipulated when I see a headline like that. And also... So I know I'm being manipulated as I am being manipulated. Now, when Jeffrey Dahmer was on the loose and was, the horrible things that he did, he had vats full of all kinds of human organs and and was out in public, you know, eating his stuff or whatever he was doing.
No, he wasn't. He was in his apartment.
Okay. That was when April and I were going to get married, and I postponed the marriage. I walked in the middle of the reception hall. They were decorating the reception hall, and I had seen the news, and I was stunned. And I was so stunned that I remember I'd seen the news about this man in Milwaukee, and he was eating God knows how many boys, and I remember being so stunned that I drove, and I really didn't know where I was going, but I found myself driving to the reception hall where April and her mother and her sisters and friends were decorating the reception hall. And I walked in, and I said to them, are you having a good time? And they said, yeah. And I said, really enjoying what you're doing? They said, yeah. I said, well, guess what? It's off. And
so you walked in there and were a big party pooper. You just...
I didn't mean to be, but I had to say to them, I thought I was trying to soften the blow, but I guess I wasn't.
No, I'd say that you weren't. I'd say that what you did to them, what you did to your wife-to-be, was probably disappointed the living hell out of her. You know, I actually know somebody that happened to, a good friend of mine, and they were two very good friends of mine. And she, but at the time, it's a long story. So go ahead.
No, I want to hear it.
No, I don't want to tell you the story. So go ahead.
So I got back in my car after I told April it's off. And I got back in my car and I drove and drove. I must have drove for hours. And she finally reached me at a, I had stopped up here in Tracy in Northern California. I was in Tennessee at the time, so I don't know where. But I had stopped and to get the onion roll they got at that one place. I think it's called Hague's Ranch. Do you know the place, Phil?
No, I don't know the place. I don't really know where you're going here.
They've got an onion loaf.
I don't give a damn if they got an onion loaf. I'm asking you what this has to do. The Jeffrey Dahmer thing stunned you?
Yes, sir, it did. It stunned me and it hurt me. And you can hear my voice. You know, I'm trying to tell you, I'm a man. I'm a man like any other man. And I thought I'd come on your program to say that I'm a man. And all that's happened is I've had other guys call up, and they're more man than me, and one of them was 24, and he runs a lemonade stand or something, and he's got it hanging lower and heavier and deeper. He's got 9 pounds of...
Okay, hold on. Let's take a break, because this is a caller who's, you know, there's all kinds of mental illness. Some of it may just be a slight neurosis. I think that's what we have here. Although this guy is allowing himself to be driven out of town from the fear of what happened in Miami and leaving his family here. And he doesn't see that as anything other than what it is, a real act of cowardice. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and we will be right back right after this. Jay Sano's coming up.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, world famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with us here is Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. We will have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police in a moment to talk further about the incident in Miami. Very gruesome. During our pre-show, we showed some of the coverage from one of the national. I believe it was actually a British newspaper, and as you well might imagine, Miami news is important in Great Britain because there's a lot of people that vacation in South Florida. And the coverage that they gave to this was extensive. They showed as much as they could of the crime scene, and it was just horrible. We're talking with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, and his fear that this could be some sort of an epidemic. He's decided to leave town.
Right, yeah, and, sir, you know, Mr. Andy,
I'm not interrupting you, sir. I just want to finish this. Decide to leave town to process this.
Yes, sir, and what has happened, I think, is people have misunderstood, and they think that I've got no you know, if I can say that I got no balls.
Well, I don't think you've made a very good case in the other direction. I'm not necessarily believing that that's true about you. Okay, let me go to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. This is Joe. Go ahead, Joe. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I'm here.
You're on the air.
Not to disrespect you in any way about your manhood. Everybody has different levels of manhood. What I think you should do is if you're going to leave your family behind, then go ahead and do it. Stop keeping them lingering, because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to go or I'm going to go. Just go ahead and go. So the people start.
Well, but you're making it sound like I'm some kind of a CS because you went because of the way you said
I'm
that.
Not.
Huh?
Yeah, no, I'm trying to get you to understand that you just need to go ahead and do it, because I think you're going to end up hurting them more by just sitting there keeping them in limbo. Well, at least if you make the move to decide to go ahead and leave, well, then at least they can begin the healing process.
Why don't you do that, Steve? Why don't you just go ahead?
Well, what do you mean by a healing process? So my wife goes out and finds some other... What are you talking about?
That's her choice. That's her choice. You chose to leave. She chose to find something
else. Oh, boy. No, that's not why. I'm not saying to her that she gets to go out and go to, you know, go to the barnyard dance or whatever she's going to do. I'm just saying I need to process. See, this is why it's people are misunderstanding me, Phil. And
well, Steve, the effect of
it. I'm just saying, just do it. Just go ahead and make the move. What happens?
Yeah, but you're scared. Well, you're saying that when I make the move, that my wife is free to go to the borderline and dance with every guy.
No, you said that. I didn't say that. I said if you're going to make the move, let the healing process begin. Let her pain heal, because obviously you're hurting them by just keeping them in limbo by saying, yes, I want to go, but you know what? Let's go ahead and put it on the media and on the radio show, and let's do this, that, and the other, so everybody
can talk
about it instead of making the move.
Yeah, that's right. You got your stuff out in public here.
You know, Mr. Hendry, I'm having a hard time deciding. The last couple of days I've asked my family to weigh in. Should I leave? Should I not?
And you're asking your family to weigh in on you.
You know, and I'm not. What am I supposed to?
What are you afraid is going to happen, man?
I'm going to get attacked, or there's some kind of. I don't know what this is. I don't think any of us do.
I know what it is. It's another crazy ass who was either on some psychosis-inducing drug or psychotic himself. It's an unbelievably unacceptable thing. Nonetheless, the result of mental illness. Maybe bad parenting. You know, I doubt that. I mean, I think the guy's passed, you know.
Okay, well, that guy's making a joke. And you. Why are you guys so relaxed about it?
Well,
what is it with you?
We're not keeping our family in limbo. You are. You need to get out and let them start healing either way.
Well, I would have to ask you at this time, sir. Do you live in... Do you live in the Los Angeles area, sir?
I live in Fresno.
Okay. See, you know, I leave town, and you're going to come swooping in, and you're going to, you know...
He's not talking about that. He's talking about get this thing moving along. You got to do one thing or the other, because then people can make decisions. I appreciate your call very much, sir. It's Joe, right? Joe? Thank you. Our number 877-876-7445. This is Orlando on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Orlando.
Well, the thing is I can't understand what the confusion is. I mean, I have kids, no wife, of course, but I do have my kids. I couldn't see or imagine something happening that bothered me, worried me enough that I would leave, but I would leave my children.
Right.
Well,
nothing
not leaving.
In this world would make me leave my children.
What about a guy, okay... What about a guy eating your face and you're nude? What about you nude? God.
What is that? What kind of a question is that? What kind of a question?
What happened to that guy? That guy was nude and his face is gone. Now, if that's going to happen to you, I'd take my chances in the woods of Ontario.
Well, you know what? They may find you up there, too, Steve. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you very much, Steve.
Yeah, sure, whatever.
God, man.
what I mean. I'm telling you, just... Very unfair. Very unfair.
Phil Hendry.